Welcome to the Social Sarah podcast. I'm Sarah Magnoni, your host. And today I have a special guest. Kelly Lynn Jewell is joining me, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you.
Oh my gosh. Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I am Kelly. I am a sales coach and life coach. And I spent like a week in France with Sarah last year and decided I wanted to do it again. So yes. We are still hosting a retreat together this year. It's
going to be so excited. And of course, we're going back to France because France, I mean,
obviously.
Yeah. So Kelly and I became friends a few years ago, and we have very complementary businesses since I'm a social media coach, content creation coach. And we just thought this was a really good opportunity for us to kind of chat about our experience in France, but not only that, how it impacted our lives and our businesses when we came home. I think everyone that attended that retreat, there was 10 total, including me. So there was 9 retreat guests. I think, we still have the chat, the messenger going. People still share things in there. We've got lifelong friends, but we all came home to some crazy shifts. I fell and broke my nose, and we had some crazy things happen when we got home.
My gosh. Yeah. I forgot that you broke your nose. Holy shit. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Right. Yeah. I was like, no, you will slow down, Sarah. You will stop doing all this craziness. And I wasn't listening. And then I tripped and fell and broke my nose. And I was like, well, now I'm going to slow down. So yeah.
Oh my God. This is fascinating. Okay. This, I did not know that I was going to talk about this on a podcast today, but I got to tell you the story. So we're just going to fucking record it and go with it. Okay. So we went to France, right? And like, there was all kinds of messaging that came through for everybody. And one of the weird things that I have talked about publicly was that I took video of the hike and the Mary Magdalene cave when we were up there, and I intentionally took that video to share it with the 2 retreat attendees who couldn't make the hike, and I lost it. Like it disappeared. I could not, it came back on my phone, but like everything was fucking black on my phone. All of my images, all of my photos, all of my videos were just completely gone. We got back to the villa, and I tried to, like, things were coming back slowly, and I tried to upload them to the Google Drive that one of the attendees had created for all of our pictures and videos, and it would not allow it. Like, things kept timing out, or the website would crash or whatever. And so I was like, okay, whatever. One of the messages that I got up in the cave was something like, this is for you. This is always all for you. And so I was real mad about that because I like to share things, right? I just took that and I was like, okay, this, I'm not supposed to share this. This is not supposed to be public content. It's not supposed to be shared with other people. Fine. It's for me. Great. I'll abide by that. Whatever. Well, then I also got a lot of messages about slowing down, and I take plenty of time. I work 3.5 days a week. Like, there's, what does this fucking mean? I don't know. Well, there were several ideas that I had going for next steps to take in my business. And after we got back, just a couple of weeks later, I went to New Orleans for a branding photo shoot. One of the things that I do is I have an email newsletter that goes out twice a month in accordance with the new and full moons. And it's called Fuck Shit Up Fridays. And it's the Friday before the moon. And there's a bunch of different stuff in there. And I had spent about 8 hours working on all of the content to go out in those emails over the course of the next few months or whatever. Well, while I was in New Orleans, it disappeared. And so I was real mad about that. and then I went on another retreat in November in Utah. And we were in Park City, Utah. It's beautiful. But we, every evening, had some sort of ritual that we did, grounding practices and stuff. And I woke up the morning to leave. I had the earliest flight, and I woke up the morning that we were leaving, and I could barely fucking walk. There was something that was going on with my left knee. I could not really put weight on it. I couldn't really bend it. It was just like, I I didn't know what was going on. I was the only one awake. So it wasn't like I couldn't have somebody help me with my bags, you know?
Right.
So I get to the Salt Lake City airport, painfully make my way through that airport. I spent 14 years as a massage therapist. So I was like rubbing my knee during my entire first leg of my flight. Painfully made my way through the Denver airport, thought I was going to eat at my favorite airport restaurant and instead did not have time because I was so slowly moving. Painfully made my way through the Kansas City airport when I got home, and there was nothing physically wrong with my knee. Nothing was swollen. Nothing was hot. There was nothing like x-rays, MRIs would not like. So I came home on a Sunday, and I always see my chiropractor after I travel. And I had an appointment with her on Monday, and she was like, "This feels fine. I don't know why you can't, like why this is not operational for you." I saw her multiple times. I started doing physical therapy exercises. I started getting Reiki. I started getting Kundalini activations. I started getting all kinds of stuff because there was nothing physically wrong with my body. It just was not working. And I had an Akashic Records reading, and it was a group channeling session, and the reader came to be my turn, and she just goes, "What's wrong with your leg?" I had not told her anything was happening. She was like, "Something is going on. What is wrong with your leg?" And, you know, in this time of seeing my chiropractor and everybody else to get all the fucking healing that I possibly could, there was a lot of messaging of slow down. And I was just like, clearly I'm not moving. Like I can't walk my dogs anymore. Like I'm not doing any, what do you mean slow down? And she said, the Akashic Records reader, she said, "You were somewhere. And while you were there, something like tried to be severed that was not ready to be severed. And whatever that was, if you continue down that path, it's going to be like you're losing your legs. You're not going to be able to move forward at all."
Wow.
So you need to slow down and take stock and see what's going on. And there might be some change in direction that you need to make. And me being an air sign all over the fucking place, I'm trying to like intellectualize this and understand it and figure out what do I need to slow down with? What do I need to change? I changed the direction of some of the business support that I was receiving, and decided to not pursue some of the same directions that I had been. And at this point, you know, it's been a couple of months now. It's kind of the end of February, and that was November. And at this point, I'm finally able to walk my dogs again. But like just 3 hours ago, I was on a call with somebody who was at that retreat in Utah, and she was like, "Yeah, you need to do some cord cutting. You need to, this full moon, you need to do some cord cutting because there's somebody that's got their hooks in you." And I was like, "Well, fuck, the last time I did a cord cutting was right after I got home from France."
Yeah, right. So,
like just so many things that have sort of coalesced and come together and become clear, despite my attempts to intellectualize them, it has not been that way. But like my marketing has changed, my branding is undergoing a change. Some of my offers have changed and become more solid. And I can't think anything but like that started with France, because so many things just like that started this ball rolling of stuff that I didn't necessarily have any control over and couldn't have controlled. But I was really trying to control some shit that then was completely taken away. You know, like, no, bitch, you are not going to send these emails like that. You are not going to share this content like that, you know? So,
well, I think what's fascinating is that a lot of us went through that, right? If I think about some other, we had, she's not a chef, a patisserie.
The pastry chef?
Yes, pastry chef. Okay. So yeah, she's a pastry chef. She is a chef, I guess. And right, like she had some issues and some things happened like with the building that she was in.
Yeah,
and
there were all mechanical stuff.
Right. And somebody else ended up having a surgery after when we got back. And like, that was not planned. It was an emergency surgery. Like the things that, and of course we're sharing this and I'm like, these are probably not selling points, right? That people are probably like, wait a minute. But I think the message there is that we all realized we needed to make changes in our life in some way or another. And we had to make these decisions. And it's almost like being in France changed us so much that it allowed us to make better decisions, to slow down or to shift our direction in our business. Because I believe everyone, with the exception of one person, were all entrepreneurs on the French retreat. And the things that we did on that retreat were experiences that, at, you know, you don't usually get riding a sidecar through the Alps, the French Alps. Yeah. I got into a motorcycle accident as well.
Yeah.
My dad had a heart attack while I was gone. Like, we just had some really, and he's okay now, but we just had some really fascinating things that happened. Yeah. And I felt changed when we got home. And that was definitely something that I heard from other people as well, that they felt something had really shifted and changed within them. And I can't help but think that part of it is simply the land in France is so old and historic. And there's so many tragic stories and war and things that happened on that land, but also the culture of slowing down of everyone that you met, even though if they could tell, like somebody would heard me talking one morning when Amanda and I were going to get croissants and she stopped us and, you know, like, oh, you're English. And except she was speaking in French. So we were trying to kind of understand what she was saying. And, but she was like telling us all the places to go and she had her arm around me and like how welcoming and, I mean, they closed their shops for an hour and a half, for God's sakes, to go eat lunch and drink wine. Like,
yeah,
you know, that I think we were all like, how do we incorporate what we're experiencing here in our lives? And what we didn't expect was to come home and have all of these like kind of crazy things happen that turned our lives upside down in a way.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about, so if we think about the tarot, for example, like the tower card is the big moment of change. And everybody's so fucking terrified of the tower card because it means that something tumultuous may occur, but like, you're not going to change otherwise.
Right.
Like, I had been getting messages for ages to slow down. Well, I didn't know what that meant. Well, my body forced me to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And
right.
There's something about the willingness to accept whatever is in front of you that allows you to move forward through those events mm-hmm. without it, I don't know, being a catastrophe. Like, tower card moments are hard, but nothing changes without them. And mm-hmm. that's, we had all gone to France knowing, as you said, some shit needs to change. We didn't know what, we didn't know how, like all of us had blocks somewhere and we were told.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too, because I had a few people say to me that there were certain aspects of the trip that they were scared of and they went on the trip to overcome those. Mm-hmm. And one was riding on the sidecar, the motorcycle sidecar through the French Alps, and my accident where my driver hit a pole did not help some people. It did not help me. I was scared after that. Yeah. But it wasn't like a bad accident. I wasn't like in the hospital. It was just like a, you know, a mishap. And you helped me. And we'll talk about that in a second because you helped me since you're a former massage therapist and helped me with yeah. my neck. But, you know, someone else said even going on the hike up to the mountains and just to back up a little bit, we visited the caves of Mary Magdalene. And really the retreat was born out of Kelly's DM that she sent me because she had been to one of my other retreats in Savannah, Georgia, and I had recommended reading Mary Magdalene Revealed by Megan Watterson. Mm-hmm. Water. Yeah. And after she read it, she reached out and said, you know, hey, have you ever thought about doing a retreat there? And I actually was just returning from a retreat in Sedona where my energetic world had been just shocked. The energy in Sedona is so, I describe it like a crystal quartz. It's so clear, but extremely powerful that all I could do there was sleep pretty much. And, but I kept receiving these messages and these nudges energetically about France. And, but I didn't know what they meant. And I, when I think of France, I think of Paris. And so when you said that to me, I was like, that's it. That is what I'm supposed to do. And sure enough, I think it was, you know, between you and I sending out messages to people, it was like under 18 hours and the whole crew was booked. Everybody was booked to go. What, like, I, like we talked about a couple things before we started this that I definitely want to get into, some of the kind of really cool things that happened while we were there. Yeah. What, like we did a, was it a full moon or a new moon ritual? I don't remember.
So don't remember. I could look back at the calendar, but it was a moon ritual.
Yes. Yes. And that ultimately ended up being very emotional. We did it down by the pool. It was beautiful property. We did it down by the pool. And yeah, I just remember it being very intense for you as well. And, but prior to that, after I had my little mishap on the motorcycle, and you gave me a massage on my neck and back to try to help me. And then the other person that was in the cart, I fell on top of her, poor thing. So she also needed to have some work done. So Kelly did that for us, but the door opened, right? Yeah. Like, remind me. I remembered opening and I remember knowing right away what was happening, but I think I'm a little more numb to some of those things.
Well, and you also were lying face up on a bed, whereas I was actually facing the door.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So I wasn't really looking at the door. Yeah.
Yeah. I was sitting in a chair at the end of the bed and had like, you know, my hands under your shoulders and your neck and your head, and the door to your room just like jostled open, and there was nobody else in the house. Everybody was outside, and there wasn't like a wind tunnel in this hallway. Right. Like it wasn't structured that way. So there was no reason, no physical reason for the door to move. And I just said to you, "Oh, your door just moved." And you said, "Yeah, of course it did." And then just a couple of minutes later, it moved again and opened, like not to the point where you could walk through it, but it was a good like 6 to 8 inches open. Whereas previously it clearly hadn't been latched. Because I didn't see the knob move, you know, but the door itself swung open about 6 to 8 inches. And that was, it was very clear to me. Like, I'm pretty sure I know what is happening here, but I don't have the gifts that you do. So I didn't know until we were at that ritual. And you said, yeah, that was your dad. And I was like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. But because I knew you, I didn't want to say. And, it's funny because, yeah, those things don't surprise me that much because weird things happen, I think. Sure. All the time. And because I'm so used to it, that it's the people that are around me that are like, wait, what, just something just happened. Something just moved. And was the ball in there with you as well?
No, I just remember you talking about the ball.
Yeah. So the ball, so I have what I call my forever roomie, Amanda. Every time we go on retreats and we're together, we always room together. And so she had brought a ball. I did not know that she had a ball with her. And right now I'm like, why did she bring a ball? It was like for her foot, I think. Like it was like to rub it on her foot.
She had like massage oils and essential oils.
That's right. And so I didn't know that she had a ball. And so I go into the room and get it, and there's a ball there. And I think, oh my gosh, like the owner of the villa must have come in. And because there was a dog that would be running around on the grounds. And by the way, I just want to say, like, these grounds were so amazing. The family that owned the villa were like, he wanted to be adopted by them. They were just so sweet. And the son was very handsome. And so we had had a situation that came up, and we were moving someone from one room to another because somebody did get sick. And so they were moving into our room, like on a cot. And I thought, well, when he was in here moving the cot in, he must have, like, the dog must have been with him and the dog must have dropped his ball. And so I moved it. I don't remember right now where I moved it, but I moved it because my thought was, I am going to step on that ball and, like, break my neck, you know, because I don't trust myself. So I had moved it. And then a little bit later, and I think it was the night you did the massage, that I was back in the room and the ball was back in the same spot again. And I was like, what the, why? There's no way. How did this ball get here? And I think it was the third time that finally I said something to Amanda, like, or I said something to somebody else about a ball moving up there or something. I still didn't really understand what was going on. And Amanda looked at me and she was like, I wonder what happened to that ball, because I put it in my suitcase under my clothes. And I was like, are we talking about the same ball? Because I still am a skeptic. I mean, even, you know, I am a psychic medium. I don't practice any longer. I do when I'm on the retreats. It is part of it. But I don't do readings anymore simply because it just really exhausted me. My energy just takes a big hit. And it was then that I was like, no, it's round and it's red. And she was like, yeah, I picked that up and I put it in my bag under my clothes. And I was like, well, somebody is moving the damn ball. Like, I said, and they're related to you. I knew right away that they were related to Amanda, but I didn't know how. And it ultimately ended up being someone that she knew, and it was a little boy. And I mean, those are the things that happen, right? Like, even when we were in Savannah, I mean, the things that happened, like feeling physically sick after being inside that one house, because of course the Savannah, the war and the things that were happening there in Savannah, when you're energetically sensitive, you can pick up on it. But I think that's what makes the retreat so special, because this isn't dark. Like, it's not like this dark energy at all. It is this cleansing, healing energy. And I want to know, like, how does that impact you? Like, how do you know, like, when you're feeling and sensing that energy, like, how do you know that it's helping you heal?
It's how it feels in my body. Mm. When I get, I'll just say, like, intuitive hits, I guess, whether that is from my own guides and me, and like we're communing in whatever way, or I'm receiving a reading or some sort of energetic healing from somebody else and like energy is moving through. First of all, my solar plexus lights up as a band all the way around my body. My legs tingle, and oftentimes my crown chakra will tingle as well. But there's, if it's something that is, I don't even necessarily know that I want to say dark, because I actually work with dark goddesses, like, intentionally. But if it's something that is like malevolent, like that does not have my best interest at heart, or that is trying to do harm in some way, it feels different. It comes in differently from different places, and it's more like pressure than it is tingles. Mm-hmm. It's more like constriction than it is expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And in different places, it's not like leg tingles are very like, that is a grounded knowledge, you know, mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. solar plexus and crown chakra. That's like, so it's certain things light up, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the beautiful things about these retreats, is that the people who come to them are open, even if it's a little scary, even if it's a little like, you know, you're apprehensive about what might happen or whatever, they're open as opposed to being closed off and constricted. There's something that is like, oh, I would like to expand this. There's like a curiosity. There's a...
Yes, that's perfect interest. To describe it. Yeah. Yeah. The curiosity, because that's what I was thinking when I was thinking about who went on the last one and even the first one, that it isn't so much of somebody that, that I would consider spiritual. Is more of that curiosity and how can this possibly help me? And also the trust that's created because it is an energetic, like a positive energetic place, if you will. I don't know how to exactly, but it's like there is protection there, right? Like, you know, angelic energy, like this cleansing and healing. And for me, when we were in France, I cried a lot. Not in a way of like crying, like, I mean, everybody cried a lot, right? There was a lot of tears, whether it was eating food that you've never eaten before or experiencing the ritual or, I mean, I think for me, I felt like I was home, mm-hmm. which is why I have to go back. Mm-hmm. And I want other women to experience that because I see how it impacted everyone that went. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't, like it was such a positive experience. I think anything can happen when you're traveling so far away from home with people that you don't know that well. I mean, I remember the one person that didn't really know anyone very well, like made a statement like, yeah, I'm going to France with a bunch of people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we kind of laughed about that, but you might not know us to like hang out with us or maybe you've never been on a retreat with us before, but I think that the space that Kelly and I bring together is one that is nurturing and helpful and grounding. And when I think of the retreat space that we have booked, it's like this old distillery turned into a chateau. So it has these rustic, yes, it is gorgeous. It has these rustic rooms and these, but there is still this beauty and the meditation garden. And it is located in an area that is like, we are not in town. Like this is, you are in the French countryside, nestled between Cognac and Bordeaux. And it is ancient and gorgeous and I know I've talked to the owner of the chateau and she talked about the energy that it's a place that she likes to go because the energy is just so cleansing and calming. And, you know, I said this the other day, but I think it's so true. Like who doesn't want to go and prepare for the election this year? Like go to France, right? Like go to France. Like, let's get your central nervous system, like all intact. Let's get you like some tools and some things to help you for the rest of the year and get you to this place where you have this renewed look on life. Because I think even if you think, my look on life is fine, I guarantee unless you experience this, like I was changed. And I know that so many other people that went on the trip said, I'm completely changed. I look at everything differently. I look at the food I eat differently. Look at my relationships differently.
Well, I think too, there's something, all of us had the messaging to slow down, right? In one way or another. And I very, in a lot of detail, outlined what that was like for me. And you had a broken nose. And like, you know, there was just like so many ways that we were forced.
Somebody else had an emergency surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But as Americans, we don't know what that means. Mm-mm. And as Americans, like just like what I was trying to do, we try to intellectualize everything because intellect is everything. We don't feel shit. What do you mean? Feelings are gross. Men are allowed to be angry. Women are allowed to be acquiescent. Like, and that's it. We're not allowed to explore our feelings. We're not allowed to slow down. We're not allowed to tend to our nervous systems. We're not allowed to do any of that because we've got this hustle and grind situation going all the time. And so being in a place where that's not the norm, being in a place where that's not the vibe is disorienting, first of all.
Yeah.
But in a really good way.
Yeah.
In a really good way.
That makes me think of like when I came home and I wanted to just share with my husband, like everything that had happened, and it was almost impossible to put it into words. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was trying to describe was the culture. And I think people hear it and they're like, yeah, yeah, like I get it. They're more laid back. And I'm like, no, like this is not it. Like I use the example because I tend to be very black and white thinking, you know, this about me, Kelly, but like I use the example, like, no, I took an Uber into Avion. We were staying right on the outskirts of Avion, and Avion is considered a city, and it's busy and there was a lot of traffic, and I took an Uber and I was like, nobody honked at anybody. Nobody cut anybody off. There was a lot of traffic with roads going this way and that way, and everybody just merged and people were waving and nobody was upset when somebody crossed the street. Like I said, when Amanda and I went in and to get croissants and we got lost because the villages are so gorgeous, right? There's these little cobblestone full of these old buildings. And, we didn't know where we were going, we got lost. And the woman that put her arm around me and was talking to us and just, yeah, I don't know about you, but, and I live in a small town in Florida. That does not happen here. Yeah. I mean, somebody would be honking. I would probably be honking like to get out of here. So.
Yeah. Well, and the note about, like the energy that you and I create together and like the space that we hold. I don't remember exactly what you said, but something about that. I think we also need to pull in that, like, it's not just the two of us who will be in support of the guests there. Like we've got Megan, whose whole fucking job is support person on site. Like that's.
And let me tell you, Megan was my person. I hadn't even hired her for the last retreat, but the last retreat, I was like, Megan, will you go with me? She would say, I can go with you if you want. And I would be like, please, can you go with me? I mean, there was moments I was crying and she was talking to me. I mean, she is like, everybody needs a Megan.
Absolutely. I mean, this is why I have her, right? But yeah. Like she will be there and that's her whole job is support. Yeah. So if it's a day where you and I have sessions that we're doing, whatever that looks like for everybody, you know, whether they're getting readings or whatever, and somebody else needs something, Megan is there. Her whole job is to be there for support. In case we run out of cream. Yeah. Right. Get your
cream. That's a little bit of an inside story. I don't drink cream in my coffee, and I didn't realize that people that drink cream with their coffee can be vicious if we start to run out of cream.
I
bought a little thing of cream, planning to get a bigger thing of cream, but you know, France, like things got busy. I drank wine. I don't know what happened. I did not get the bigger thing of cream and we almost had a French revolt. Like, Megan, I need you to help me get some cream.
So funny.
We will not run out of cream.
Of course not. We will not let that happen. Not this time.
And we have a photographer this time.
Yeah. So everything will be documented, unless it's something you don't want documented, obviously, but like everything will be documented. So there's not going to be the need to, oh, let me pull out my phone to get this. Oh, let me make sure that, you know, that's fucking what I did, you know, in the cave was I want to make sure that everyone has this experience and the people who physically can't, I would like to provide it for them. And then Mary said no, but we have intentionally lined up somebody to be able to capture those moments.
Yes.
To be able to create that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, to get into a little bit of the details, we'll make sure that in the show notes, there is a link to all the information so that you can check out the chateau. You can check out what we're going to be doing. We are still finalizing some of the events and tours we're going to be doing. And these will really depend on, you know, who we have joining us and what looks to make sense. This experience is catered to you as much as we possibly can while still remaining a group. I think that that's something that I really learned the last time and something I want to continue as we host retreats is making it an experience that people just feel completely nurtured. And I want you to cry at dinner. Like, I want you to be like, this is so great. Cause that's what happened last time. And I liked that. I liked it.
Yeah. But seriously, the food, I can't.
It is nothing. If you've not been to France, like you just, like it, this is the thing that's beyond words.
Yeah.
Like, my husband's a foodie and he is an amazing cook and he cooks all the time. He makes amazing meals. Right now he's on chicken parm and I just keep asking for it. He's on his third batch making it for me. But yeah, I mean, they get all of their produce and everything is local. Like, they eat what is locally ready. Yeah. And the food and the wine, they drink wine with everything. And if you don't drink wine, please don't think that you can't come. This is not like a, we're not having like all nighters, a drunk fest. It is not like that. You know, the people that we attract are women who, you know, who want to experience things, and they might like wine and they might not. And that's okay. Don't think that if you don't drink wine, that this is not going to be for you. We are going to be in the wine region, right? Bordeaux, yeah, and the cognac region, although I don't drink cognac, but I'd probably try it. When in Rome, when in France. yeah. So, and of course, any questions you have, I'll make sure that our emails are in there as well. And definitely ask us any questions. Yeah. Oh, the dates. September 15th through the 21st. And
the 21st is that's the day you pack up.
That's the travel day. Yeah, the 21st is the travel day. We'll be there till the 21st. And if and the way that kind of we did it last time when we were in France was that that Friday was just kind of a slow day. People were, you know, packing up, getting ready to go. And the day was basically centered around food, if I remember correctly. It was a lot of food and kind of some last minute, if there were places you wanted to go. And then, yeah. And we did have some people that left, I think there was somebody that left on Friday. And then like, I was up early even before everyone, I left before everyone. Cause I understand like the, you know, you'll be traveling from Bordeaux into Paris, chances are, to fly out, unless you're going, we had some people last time that went some different stops. You went to Paris for a few days. And I know we've got someone else that's booked already that they're going to be in Paris for a few days. So.
Yeah. I think Megan and Kelly, the photographer, are going to go to Paris with me too. So that'll be fun. You want to go?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be in Paris for a few days after, apparently.
yeah, but like the first day is also going to be super, like, you've just traveled internationally. You're going to come in and be exhausted. So
yeah.
Downtime.
Yes. Naps. Mm-hmm. If it's warm enough, get in the pool. I think the pool is heated actually. Yeah. Eat some croissants. I mean, listen, the amount of baguettes that we went through and cheese and butter, like, just get ready. I mean, breakfast was like cheese, croissants, fresh fruit, wine. No, I'm joking. There was no wine in breakfast. No.
Cream.
But we could have had mimosas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do want to note though, too, you're talking about baguettes and croissants and stuff. And my body does not tolerate gluten. And before we went, there was somebody who was saying, oh, that's going to be really difficult because nobody gives a shit about gluten allergies because it doesn't exist in Europe, which is, first of all, not true. But I had a very easy time. Mm-hmm. I had a very easy time eating. So whatever kind of dietary restrictions for me personally, I am very keen on making sure that everyone is taken care of. So no matter how complicated your body is. Mine is very complicated, and no matter how complicated that is for you, we will absolutely make sure that you are taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything's, you know, especially when it comes to dietary needs and those things, you know, tried really hard. We happened to find places that had some gluten-free options, and so tried to make sure and then draw a big X on that so nobody else would take it. So the, you know, gluten-free folks could get it. And mindful about the food, we had to make sure that there was, you know, gluten-free options or vegan options or whatever. Cause we did have some other folks that were gluten-free and I think, didn't eat meat and some other things. Yeah. Yeah. So we needed to make sure. But yeah, I mean, that's all part of the experience, right? It's, you're not going to go and be unhappy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my guarantee. You're just not.
Right. It's, absolutely.
And I mean, Kelly and I are cool as fuck and it's going to be fun.
And like you said, even if you're not, like, if you don't drink alcohol, like, yes, we'll be in wine country or the wine region. Yeah. I think wine country is what they call California. That's not France.
Oh. Okay.
The wine region, whatever.
Trust me, when you have French wine and then you have California wine, not the same.
Not the same.
Well, that's the other thing I do want to say. Hold on one second. Like, if you drink wine there, right? Like, if you, I can't drink red wine normally because I get really bad indigestion and I love red wine, but I didn't drink red wine in decades. Like, cause I just don't drink that much anyway, but decades. And then we got there and I had red wine and I was like, I can drink red wine. So now since I've been home, I only get French red wine.
Sure. Yeah. It's very different. It's very different from what we typically, I mean, I live in Missouri and we have a lot of wine that is done here, but it's all sweet and shit that I cannot drink because it gives me a headache, you know, and California wine. Yeah. Just very different. But if you don't drink alcohol, that's also not a problem. Like I will be doing Akashic record readings and I can't access when I've had alcohol. Yes. So like, I will also not be drinking with you.
Yes. And before we close out, just one last thing. We do plan to have at least one day in Bordeaux that will be essentially a free day for you, which you can group up. It's not like free day here, drop off, go do what you want. I mean, there's so much art to see. We're going to meet up for dinner. And I mean, we had Michelin star restaurants that we went to last time. So those are just some of the things you can expect. You're going to experience France in a way that you more than likely would not secure for yourself, which I think is what makes going so exciting.
Absolutely. This is not the like tourist version of anything.
No. I might still have a fanny pack on, but yeah.
Sure. Whatever.
I'll just put it over my shoulder so it looks more chic. All right.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, me too. And so, like I said, in the show notes, I'll have all the information as well as our email addresses. If you have questions, please do not hesitate to reach out.
Yeah.
And with that, everyone, have a great rest of your week.